What shall I ask for? The mother answered, the hand of John the Baptizer, and so would end the glorious life of this herald of the Lord. And in order to understand the significance of the death of St. John the Baptist, perhaps it is best to reflect on the joy of his conception and birth. For we know that at the birth of St. John the Baptist, he would receive that most extraordinary of all visitations, the visitation of the Mother of God. And there, in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth, he would be consecrated, set aside for God's purposes. And so his whole life would be a life of giving glory to Almighty God and witnessing to the truth that he was to see, the truth that was to come. That is, the truth of the revelation of the Word made flesh. The same child who dwelt in the womb of the Mother of God at the visitation of the Mother of God to St. John the Baptist would be the same child who would deliver the world from its sin on Calvary. And so St. John would go to prepare his way. And we are struck by the matter-of-fact way that St. Mark presents to us the slaughter of St. John the Baptist. And perhaps there are many lessons for us to learn in our day, in our society, particularly with the callousness with which this young girl could ask for the head. And indeed, after the mother makes known the request, we hear from St. Mark that the girl hurried back to Herod in order to put the request forth to him. If we understand this in the light of the fact that St. John Chrysostom tells us that this child was a child of perhaps 9 or 12, no older than 12, and yet she was capable of the most malicious act that has been one of the most malicious acts that we hear of in all of sacred scripture. Why is this? It is so because of a message so necessary in our day and age. It is because what reigned in the house of Herod reigns in the modern world, that is, the vice of lust. And so we see how it infiltrated to the very depths of the heart of even the children who dwelt in the house of Herod. For Herodias, whose very name means vainglory, was not the wife of Herod. She was the wife of Herod's brother Philip, and yet they each acquired an illicit desire for each other, and so they would have that desire fulfilled at any cost. And we see the great price of lust and why the devil works so earnestly to sow this vice in society. Because St. Alphonsus de Liguori tells us, while it is not the worst of all sins, it is the most dangerous, because when the devil can loop us into it, when he can get us hooked on the vice of lust, he can lead us to those sins which he really wishes us to perpetrate, that is, the sins of blasphemy and sacrilege. And we see very clearly today how we have institutionalized the very sins of blasphemy. Do not we hear each and every day that out of what are supposed to be the hallowed halls of nations, do we not hear each and every day those congregations beginning with prayer and then spending the rest of the day trying to change the definition of marriage and try to justify all kinds of perversion? And so we see very clearly that blasphemy itself has become institutionalized in our day, in our society. And so we too, like the Baptist, must realize we are called to be heralds of the Lord. We are to witness to his truth, even in the public order, and indeed, most earnestly, when the public order needs that witness. And so we must be willing, like the baptizer, to have our heads handed to us on a platter, if that is what is necessary to bring the world back to its senses, back to Christ. Some of the saints point out to us that at the end of this gospel, there is actually hope held out to the world. And how does the gospel end? With the head of John the Baptist being handed back to Herodias. And so some of the saints tell us the mystical meaning in this is that the head of John the Baptist is a symbol and a sign of the eternal wisdom, that is, a sign of Christ himself. And that wisdom would first be handed to the Gentile peoples whom Herodias represents, for she was the daughter of a pagan king. And so we have that great mystery that we are the Gentile people, and so what was unleashed against John the Baptist has been tamed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in what had become known as Christendom. And so we must strive each and every moment to reestablish that glorious kingdom of Christendom of which St. John the Baptist was a herald and was the precursor, because it is none other than the reign of Jesus Christ as king over the whole of society. And if Christ doesn't reign as king king over society, then that society necessarily becomes perverted, that society necessarily becomes cruel, because the vices that are unleashed in a society in which Christ does not reign are by their very nature cruel vices. And so we see that this message in today's gospel is a most earnest message for our day and age. For John the Baptist got in trouble because he defended the indissolubility and the unity of marriage. And indeed, when we see the life of our Lord, we will see also that primarily he got in trouble by defending the same thing, that is, the indissolubility of marriage. And so it is not to society to determine how marriage is to be defined, because marriage is ultimately a supernatural reality, and the very institution of marriage has been elevated to a sacrament by Almighty God himself. And so God and God alone can define what a true marriage is and how it is to be lived. And we see very clearly that in each state of life in the church, whether it be the religious, the priest, or the lay person, single in the world or married, each and every one is called to a profound manifestation of charity by the exercising the virtue of chastity. And without chastity, there can be no true charity in the world. And so we learn a great mystery from St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose tells us that every member of the mystical body who lives that virtue according to his state in life, by that very fact, without ever speaking a word, witnesses to the supernatural reality and the existence of God, because he says, everyone knows that chastity, according to the Christian dispensation, according to the requirements of Christ, is impossible for any human being to attain without the aid of someone from outside of them. He says very clearly that no one in this world, no one ever created, would deny that if Christians do what they claim to do, then there must be a God, because every human being knows that when it comes to this virtue of chastity, it is impossible for man to attain that goal that Christ has established. And so we must thank him each and every day if we are able to persevere in this virtue, and we must do everything we can to safeguard this virtue in our world, because it was the witness of marriage fidelity that ultimately won the heart of the pagan world. Saint Paul seems to indicate it, and Saint John Chrysostom in his commentaries says very clearly that it was first Paul's doctrine of original sin that began to enlighten the pagans, but primarily it was the fact that Christian men and Christian women truly lived in that community of love which we know as marriage, being faithful to each other according to what the faith taught them. And so it was that the pagans began to realize these Christians truly have something beyond this world, something very joyful. And so let us go to them and seek out what it is they have. And so when they came to seek, the Christians would point to the Mother of God and her most holy Son. And so we too, by this virtue, must point to Our Lady and to Our Lord, for ultimately, St. John the Baptist defended the purity of the Mother of God, and so he was truly a chivalrous man. And so let us again pray that our society again is led by chivalrous men who will defend the honor of the Mother of God, and in defending the honor of the Mother of God, necessarily defend the fruit of her womb. That fruit which is so assailed in this day and age, each and every infant destroyed in the womb of its mother is a vicarious attack of Satan against our Lord himself. And so we must strive to conquer his kingdom that truly reigns over the whole of society. And that can only be done if we are willing to heroically witness as St. John the Baptist witnessed. And so let us not fear being beheaded, for as our Lord tells us, we are not to fear him who can destroy the body, but he alone who will judge the soul. And so when we die, we stand before our Lord as our judge. Satan stands as our accuser. And so when the Baptist stood before the Lord for his judgment, Satan had nothing to accuse him from. And so he heard those most glorious of all words, come into my Father's kingdom, into the home that I have prepared for you from the beginning. And we too, if we witness to that faith, will hear those same words, and so Satan ultimately will be consigned to where he belongs, and there he may no longer assail the human family, no longer tempt us to depart from the love that we are all called to enter into.